You're listening to Leaders Portfolio. It's audiocast on leadersportfolio.com. I'm your host, Rebecca Blacksmith, here with the chairman and CEO of Catapult Technologies, Randy Slager. Welcome, Randy, to Leaders Portfolio.
I'm glad to be here.
Thanks for coming in studio. Now, Catapult was ranked 1452 on the Inc. 5000 list, and it's a service-disabled, veteran-owned firm that provides information technology and management consulting services to the federal government. And you founded this firm and run it? Is that correct?
Yes, I do.
And what year was that?
Founded in 1996.
And you're located where?
In headquarters is in Bethesda, but we're in 26 states, Puerto Rico, Germany, and Japan.
And did you have any vision, hey, I want to build a company and grow it to number 1452 on the Inc. 5000 list? Or did you just think you had an idea better than other people? Or kind of what? How did
this
come about?
Actually, we made, on the Inc. 500, we made number 31.
That's quite a few years back.
So that was when we were small and one large contract can really make a difference.
It's harder to keep that up
as you get bigger. You just don't have those larger of opportunities.
and so Catapult Technology, I was reading about this, holds a special recognition award from the DOT for mission critical IT and telecom support to the department's Emergency Notification Operations Center following September 11th attacks. So tell me about your involvement.
We were in a unique position. We had just won the operations contract. So essentially, we run the data center, the communications, and the phone systems. And 9/11 hit. We were in a position that when TSA, Transportation Security Administration, needed to be stood up, we were there. They didn't have anything else. We were doing the infrastructure support. So we quickly, as GSA, found space throughout the Washington area, a number of agencies detailed people to start up TSA. We were there supporting that process. Also, when they closed down the national airspace right after 9/11 and FAA had suspended National Airport, we were answering all the phone calls from coming in from Congress, from the public, from state, from mayors, everyone that was calling in and trying to get the right people and to get whatever answers we could. The White House came out with some directives for security, so we had to bring up the security on the computer systems. And so we had folks in there at night, weekends, all kinds of crazy hours.
So you had the contract already, and then this hit?
This hit.
Okay.
So it was a major change, but everybody wanted to do something. We were in a position we could make a difference. And what happened is 26 of my people got an administrator's award 6 months later, which is unheard of. It's for government employees only. And Catapult was recognized. We were the only company singled out. So it was quite an honor.
And how did you, when you got this call and you knew you could respond, right, as a leader, you have to make some decisions. What were you thinking? Were you thinking, oh, darn it, I have all this work to do?
No, you just step up to the challenge. You look at what resources you have and what additional resources you need to pull in, and you organize as quickly as you can. You try to delegate as much as you can with the staff that you do have. And we ended up hiring quite a few people, and it was really looking at relationships and who we knew and who was good that we could bring on board.
And you're probably used to being calm, cool, and collected because in 1982, you joined the FBI as a senior computer scientist in the R&D program to automate the FBI's 59 field divisions. And so you were a technical architect of a $500 million system that connected mainframe centers to over 6,000 desktop computers.
Yeah, it was the days when I came into the Bureau, there was an R&D group. And at that time, the agents in the field had stubby pencils and typewriters. And getting information from L.A. to New York to find out what information was available on a suspect took 21 days at that time on the average. And we were able to bring it down to within seconds. So one office would know where is the information within the system on suspects so they could then make the agents that much more productive. Also, there's that many more cases that could be now brought to prosecution. So bringing the technology in empowered the agents, made them more productive. But it was a dramatic change. The Bureau had a mystique that was there from the Hoover days, but when you looked under the covers, the technology had been pushed off.
So that's an interesting question. You may not even know this answer, but is the FBI more effective today because of the technology? Is that true?
It's much more effective today, or even over the last, last 20 years. But what often happens in governments, you leap forward in technology, and then other priorities of the mission come in play. And the technology gets old over time. When it's time to upgrade it again, it often is stretched out. And then when it finally is time to upgrade it, you're way behind. Mm-hmm. And we saw that with 9/11. A number of things have been put on hold because other spending priorities, you know, were in place.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden that we needed to have that technology and be able to get the benefits, the Bureau as well as the rest of law enforcement agencies and DHS had to jump in and try to move themselves again that next leap forward.
Now, we're speaking with the chairman and CEO of Catapult Technologies, Randy Slager. And before this, before the FBI, you were in the Army. And in 1978, you sustained a serious spinal injury while you were on active duty. And it required 9 months of hospitalization and ended your Army career.
Yes. I had been in Germany, was doing the data processing for 14 hospitals and 260 clinics. Getting some very good experience, and it was a time that Vietnam had ended. A lot of the folks that really had the talent and skills went to the commercial side. There was a huge demand for, at that time, called data processors. So when I went on active duty, there was really a void. So I was able to step in and probably pick up about 12 years of real experience in a matter of a very short period. But ended up sustaining an injury with my back and with the spine. And as far as if you had any kind of a profile in those days, especially since Vietnam had ended and they were letting most of the officer corps go, there really wasn't the option. My career was over.
And so I mentioned earlier that Catapult is a service-disabled, veteran-owned firm. And so hence your story. And now, actually, you're an advocate for opening business opportunities to disabled veterans.
I've actually found back in 1978, went to a VA Veterans Administration conference for small business. And it was an outreach. And there was about 250 companies there. And they asked, how many disabled veteran firms do we have? One. How many veteran firms? One. And out of the whole group, Catapult was the only one. Today, you go to the VA conference, they have an annual one in Las Vegas, and I believe it was several thousand folks attended that, and most of them starting their own businesses. So a tremendous change, since 1998.
So were you kind of at the forefront of that advocacy, or are you actually doing more advocacy now?
I was involved at that time telling my story. Involved up in the Hill, talking to a number of individually one-on-one with a number of congressmen, congresswomen, or the senators, and just trying to help build support and give a face to what was the federal market really like for a disabled veteran firm. I did get involved at various times at different stages of the programs developed, but I was also trying to grow a business and keep the doors open. Now I'm able to do more. I'm involved in Vet Force and involved. We do a number of activities with the VA Regional Center or where we can participate and make a difference. And then we're mentoring. We just finished, we're finishing a session right now with Montgomery County where we're mentoring about 40 disabled veteran firms. And it's every 3 weeks, it's a 3-hour session in the evening, but it's lessons learned. And it's trying to help them avoid the mistakes and efficiently use their dollars and their time wisely.
Now, did you, so is this accurate? You're kind of the veteran, service-disabled, veteran-owned firm, and you kind of understand the history of this. Is it accurate that service-disabled-owned firms that were kind of not able to be as competitive? So they not only were they not able to compete with others, they just weren't out there and they didn't even, it didn't help them. And then it became equal, and now it's an advantage?
Yeah. For a long time, we had the stigma of Vietnam, and it hung. And when the Gulf War hit, when wars in Afghanistan and Iraq hit, all of a sudden, the perspective of veteran changed. But there was a stereotype out there. And a lot of times, you see the homeless veteran here in Washington, and you don't think of a company. And I know the early days when I went in and I could no longer hide my disability, I spent more time discussing my disability than what I could do.
Interesting.
And today you don't do that anymore. Today you go in there and you're in an area they recognize you've made a contribution to the country already. You've earned the opportunity, or you should have the opportunity to go ahead and show them again because you had a certain level of dedication to this country. And many of those veterans have come back with the military training, the can-do, the enthusiasm that goes with it, and they want to start companies. They want to make a difference. So the doors are finally opening. But on the other thing, starting a business is not easy. It's very hard. And for a lot of people, they don't understand the process and the time and what it takes to really be successful.
What is your leadership philosophy?
I like to set the direction, lead by example, but also delegate and get out of the way when I have the right people in the right positions and let them go ahead and excel. They're going to make mistakes, but the more experience they get, the better they do it, and it's more than trying to do it yourself. Many entrepreneurs fail because they don't get out of the way or they don't allow the company to continue to grow and move to the next level, because your role has to continually evolve as the company grows. And if you understand where that role is and you can then develop your subordinates and empower them, then you multiply the effectiveness of the company.
And your business is interesting. We ask leaders here, how are they navigating the economic climate? And what I've seen is a pattern with businesses, that have, for you guys, you have a major client of the federal government. And so you're somewhat not susceptible to the extent that people who have primarily commercial clients are in this economic downturn. Talk to that.
Well, it's a good position to be in. When the economy is going very well on the commercial side, our profit margins are very thin. But we have long-term contracts. Now, when the economy goes bad, we still have long-term contracts, and we have a nice base to keep building on. So it's a different market. It takes much longer. Commercial side, you can cut a deal in a matter of weeks. You can be going to work. In the government, it's often, if not months, years.
But you always get paid.
You always get paid. You eventually get paid.
Okay.
And you know you will. And if you learn how to respond within the system and keep things moving, you can actually get paid on time. But it takes you have to have a staff that knows how to work well with the government to get that done.
Have you seen improvement in government relationships in contracting out with the private sector, such as yourself? Like 10 years ago, were there, was it kind of, the relationship between the public sector and the private sector was poor, and it's getting better? Is it improving or about the same?
It's improving. The government kind of goes through cycles, and it's not, and I'm looking more by an agency. Sometimes they're looking for lowest cost, and they get exactly what they pay for. They get the lowest cost, and other times they realize they really want best value. You can pay a little more, get the quality, have a much, much happier with the results that you get, and particularly if you can get a vendor that's proactive, that's a partner, that does, because you have a long-term opportunity, that can really team and make a difference for that agency, for that government contractor, then you can become that partner. And if you can become that trusted partner, it becomes a very close, healthy relationship.
Excellent. Now, I've got a Forbes business quote for you, Randy. All right, here it goes. This is from Charles Dickens. No one is useless in this world who lightens the burdens of it for another. No one is useless in this world who lightens the burdens of it for another. And I had picked that quote because I know you talked earlier about being an advocate of opening business opportunities to disabled veterans.
We've pretty well taken that to heart because we've been very fortunate. We've been in a good position, good opportunity with the market, and we've been able to do well there. And then part of that is the ability to give back. And much of where I'm involved in the community, the veteran community, is to do that giving back, to mentor, to help other companies, and to let them learn from some of the hard lessons we learned and not have to go through and repeat the same process. Also, working with government agencies and up on the Hill, and this is with VetForce, but trying to remove barriers and open doors.
Excellent. Well, Randy, I want to thank you for being with us and sharing your leadership story. Appreciate it.
Oh, my pleasure.
Randy Slager, Chairman and CEO of Catapult Technologies. And of course, this interview, his bio, and a link to Catapult will all be available at leadersportfolio.com, which, by the way, is where you also can nominate a leader or leadership company from the DC area. Right now, we're accepting nominations and applications for the 2010 Leaders Portfolio Awards on our website. Maybe you have a client who practices great leadership business ideals. We'll nominate them. We encourage that. Thanks to exclusive sponsors of Leaders Portfolio, Dennis Cole Architects, WOW Services Group, Divine Inspiration Salon, Riverwalk, a development featured on the front page of the Wall Street Journal, and Hilton Garden Inn of Fairfax, Virginia, providing all your business meeting room needs. If you're trying to reach the business community directly, consider sponsorship of Leaders Portfolio. I want to thank our senior producer, Dr. Allures, and the production team. I enjoy speaking with you each week at Leaders Portfolio about leadership. This has been Rebecca Blacksmith.